Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Film for Fans podcast, the podcast from movie fans for movie fans. I'm your host, Ryan Dunleavy. Rob Dunham is back with us.
How we doing?
We're doing good. So after travel and illness and scheduling issues, we are back with another edition of Film for Fans. And we have a chock full episode, lots of stuff. Summer movie season is upon us. It's good to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's blockbuster time. Let's go.
Yes. So we're going to be talking about the box office, last week's box office, the upcoming Mission Impossible Final Reckoning debut, as well as some other movies that are coming out this week. And then we're going to do our discussion on the summer box office. We're going to give you a preview of the movies that are coming out for the rest of May, June, and July. And we're going to have some fun with that as well. We'll give you the ones that we're most looking forward to. And then we'll conclude with our watch list, movies we've watched over the last couple weeks. And now we are going to get started. So we'll start with the box office. We have a new number one. And it is Final Destination Bloodlines. In its first week in the box office, it makes, wait for it, $51 million. That's an incredible figure. That's the only new movie to crack the top five this week. Number two came in Thunderbolts, finally dethroned. In its third week, it did $16.5 million. That's $155.4 million total for them so far in 3 weeks. Sinners finished number three at $15.4 million. That one has done $240.7 million. Huge number for Sinners. Really impressive performance. It's still in the top three, 5 weeks after being out. So really impressive.
Yeah, and its drop has been pretty slight compared to some other things each week. So
yeah. Yeah. Number four, a Minecraft movie, $5.8 million. $416.6 million in its 7 weeks in the box office. Minecraft continues to rock it. And The Accountant 2, in its fourth week in the box office, did $4.9 million. It has made a total of $59 million. Overall, the box office was up 23% from last week. Rob, what do you make of this?
It's good for the box office, but I'm surprised.
Why are you surprised?
I will say that I watched, I guess this is kind of a spoiler to the watch list, but I did watch the first and fifth Final Destinations this weekend, and they were not great. So I'm kind of surprised that this movie made this much in the box office. I was expecting more of like a $20 to $30 million classic horror opening weekend amount, not double that.
So what do you make of that?
I guess that there is a much larger built-in audience for this movie than I expected. Like, there's a huge fan base for this movie, I guess.
I also think, like,
I don't know. I don't really have another explanation. I know you said it's been reviewed well, but like, you don't really see horror movies have this big an opening unless there's like a built-in audience for it. So
the only other thing I'll say about that is if you look at the top five, the one outside of Final Destination that is the newest is Thunderbolts, and that was already out 3 weeks. So if you've already seen Thunderbolts and Sinners and The Accountants, what else are you going to go to? So there's also the built-in audience. Like, you have an audience, you have a built-in franchise, and it's the newest movie out in this third week of May, which is kind of interesting. So yeah, colleges are now out. Most colleges are out. So I think there, it's kind of a confluence of it just happened to pick the right release date.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And I probably will end up going to see it. I just didn't see it opening weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I did get around to, also a spoiler to watch this. I did get around to Accountant 2, but I still have not gotten around to Sinners and Thunderbolt. So I still have some work to do with my box office attendance. Any other comments on that?
Just overall, pretty decent week for the box office. Not huge drops or anything, really, in the top. It seems like there's genuine interest in the wide variety of things that are out right now, which is only positive. Like you said, a 23% increase across the board. Always something that you're hoping for.
And we've got that, well, let's transition that. We now have a new movie headed to the box office this weekend. Two of them, actually, but we'll spend more time on the first one. Opening this weekend, Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning. It's out. It is coming out this week, and it's going to be an interesting one. So let's talk about this one a little bit. The last movie came out 2 years ago. It was supposed to be Dead Reckoning Part One. It was labeled as Dead Reckoning Part One. In fact, despite what they say, the per copy I purchased has Dead Reckoning Part One on it. However, they decided to ditch that name and go with the Final Reckoning. And the tenor and the vibe around this one is that this might be the final Mission Impossible movie, particularly with Tom Cruise. Given that it's Hollywood, you never know. But what are you expecting?
I mean, I think we do know, like, there's no way this is the last Mission Impossible movie. Let's be honest. Like, have you ever seen the TV show Futurama? Like, Richard Nixon is still campaigning to be president in the future, and it's just his head in a glass jar attached to a robot body. Like, that's literally, they're going to do that with Tom Cruise. Like, he's just going to have his head in a glass jar, and they're going to attach him to a robot body, and he's going to go perform more impossible missions because once you've completed one impossible mission, like, aren't all missions impossible? I really don't. Or was there never an impossible mission?
That is interesting.
I don't think this series will ever be over. This is like it's Jurassic Park level.
I was gonna say, based on what we're gonna
Star Wars.
talk about later.
It's just there's always going to be a new movie, I think. Yeah. Maybe we see a shift towards trying to bring a different kind of cast together. Maybe Tom Cruise fades into the background on it, but he'll have a cameo, obviously, as like, oh, that's Tom Cruise. Like, that's absolutely gonna happen. But I wonder, like, I don't know if, to me, this is not a series like James Bond, or some other series where like you can just replace the main guy. Like, maybe there is somebody out there. Maybe there is somebody out there who will get that, but like Tom Cruise is Mission Impossible. So I don't know if anyone else is ever going to live up to that standard.
I think there's a chance you could relaunch it and do well, but it's not a guaranteed chance. It's not. But I mean, you might have been able to say that at the onset of the James Bond films when they first switched James Bond. Like, they're probably still in that boat. Of course, it wasn't 20 some years, 30 years. It wasn't 30 years between two. So I don't know, but I think there would be more
I have a
Mission
vote over
Impossible.
here. I have a vote over here for Keanu Reeves as the next Ethan Hunt, but I think he's probably a little too old. He's too busy be John Wicking things to take over that role, I think.
Well, he's younger than Tom Cruise, barely, but he is.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So how, for me, what I'm expecting it to be visually very interesting. I'm just, my concern would be that the story doesn't end up coming together the way it should. I think there will be cool stunts. I think there'll be awesome action sequences. I think the camera work's going to be spectacular, and there's going to be lots of fun, interesting things. I'm just concerned that the plot's not really going to, they're not going to be able to pull all the threads together in this one. I
Yeah, I mean,
thought the.
they're my
Go ahead.
from what I've seen in the trailers, like it seems like they're very clearly trying to drive home that there's like a big emotional aspect to this movie. But I'm really wondering, it's going to feel genuine or if it's just going to feel forced or like we have to tie all this up. So you have to hear you like sometimes, movies will just be like, here, now you feel things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, no movie. Actually, I don't feel anything
I think
because
you're good. I think there's is an attachment level to these characters because you've seen several of them for 10 to 30 years, like on that. So I think there's a chance to make it work. We'll see.
yeah, I don't mean to like blow things out of proportion, but if anyone harms my Benji, I will burn this world to the ground.
Yes, I think Luther is the one in most trouble based on the trailers.
Hilarious though how Benji has gone from this like nothing character to like people love him now. Like
Yeah.
he's such a key part of things. When originally that was not the intent whatsoever,
He was
and
just
it just kind of happened.
the computer guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really interesting. So I think like the AI storyline, while culturally relevant to the moment, I didn't love the way it played out versus the plots in a number of the other movies. It was a little bit more ethereal and less visceral, and this franchise has done better when it stuck to more visceral plots. So I was slightly disappointed with I still like Dead Reckoning, but it wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. So that's my concern going into Final Reckoning, is that I'm going to leave with a similar feeling. Like, okay,
Yeah.
it was fine. Parts of it were really excellent, but it wasn't as good as it could have been. So that's my concern going in.
Yeah, you had this outlined in the notes, so I think we're heading here next, but seeing the trailers and everything, I am having a very hard time understanding slash wrapping my head around why they changed the name or like any of because this like at least the trailers to me seem like this is a direct like second part of the movie. Like why are they acting like it's some different movie when it seems like the submarine, the key, like all this stuff that's brought out in the first movie is very clearly going to be paid off in the second movie. So why change anything? Because it's clearly the second part of the first movie. Like you're not fooling anyone. It's still Dead Reckoning Part Two. I don't really get
I think the only reason to
it.
do that is if you did have a meeting and pre-decide, hey guys, this is it. Like we're done. This is it. And then you would say, like, okay, let's give it a name that lets everyone know this is it, and build up kind of the nostalgia for the franchise, and try and draw people in with, hey, come see the last Mission Impossible of this era, as it were. So that's the only thing that makes sense to me as to why you go to that length to like change the name and recode the first one from that standpoint. But because it does feel like we're gonna pick up right where we left off in part one.
Yeah.
At least that's sort of the vibe we get from the trailers. Anything else for Final Reckoning that you're thinking or contemplating heading in?
Do you have the number by any chance, or could you look up the number for opening weekend from the last one?
Yeah, it did okay on opening weekend. Where it got really creamed is a no follow-up because it debuted 1 week before it
Barbie and
debuted
Oppenheimer.
1 week before Barbie Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And so that really tanked it. Like, it did okay. It wasn't like didn't blow everything away, but it did okay. So opening weekend was 54.6 million for Dead Reckoning Part One.
All right, is this over or under that number?
I'm gonna go over. I think it
I think
does.
I'm feeling over and confidently over. Like I think it's at least 70.
Yeah, I was gonna say 75-80 is the range I was landing in. It's interesting because this franchise was, I mean, if you go back, we talked about this when we did our breakdown of each one of those movies. This was one of the first franchises to fully take advantage of the international audience. And so, for instance, Dead Reckoning Part One did 172 million domestically, but did 571 million gross worldwide. So
Wow.
it made huge, huge, huge bank overseas, way more than it did in
Yeah.
the US. And this has been consistent with this franchise. It has been for, I would say 4 or 5 movies now where the international audience for this film has been bigger than the domestic audience. And I think that's in part because oftentimes the films really do connect with the local audiences and where they're shot. And Tom Cruise will often do full-on premieres at each one of the primary locations. And that really does wonders for like those international audiences.
Yeah, and you have said, and it's correct that they've really been hammering the nostalgia narrative in these trailers, and I think enough people are going to be drawn in by that. Like, I think there will be some people who haven't been necessarily been to all of them recently, who are going to come out for this one, because they're going to see something in the trailer and be like, oh yeah, I remember that scene from that movie. Like, I should probably go check this out and see what it's about. And I really think that's going to drive the number up.
And I would say, and we're going to get to what's coming out later, it's got at least a 2 week runway before it's going to get massive competition, and maybe even 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So it's got a decent runway that it could have a longer success to be up near the top for a couple weeks, which is something it did not have the last time around.
I dare you to say that to Ralph Macchio's face.
Different taste in movie. We'll come back to that in a second. Anything else for this?
Don't think so. I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I'll say this. I think no matter how the movie ends up, I'm gonna like it. The question is, am I going to love it? And I want to love it. Like, there are a couple. MI4 being like the main one for me. Like, there are a couple that I love,
For sure.
and I want to feel that way about this. So I'm hoping that I do. I don't know. I really don't know if that's where we're gonna land.
And the style of filmmaking for these movies under Chris McQuarrie is risky. It's like they put it together on the fly as they go and change things and edit things and sometimes even write the movie as they're going along. And it's worked out more times than it hasn't. It's just there is a risk that at some point it's not going to all come together. Right. Well, Mission Impossible comes out this week. If you are available on Thursday at 2 o'clock, nationwide, if there's an IMAX theater near you, there's a fan fest release of the film where you get movie posters. There's no trailers. There's probably going to be some special content on the front end of it as well. So that's something if you're interested and you happen to have availability Thursday at 2 o'clock and have an IMAX near you. Look into that one. Also, there's something else coming out this week, and that is Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch movie comes out this weekend. Obviously, this is an animated kids film that will have an interesting audience to it. What do you think the market is for Lilo and Stitch this week?
I think there's a built-in market here, but I don't. Maybe this is like a double premiere. They may both make a lot of money a week, but I don't. I think like 40 to 50. Maybe I could be way off. Like, maybe there's way more nostalgia wave for Lilo and Stitch than I'm imagining. I do know a lot of people love the movie and the character, but I also don't know if those people who love the movie and the character are accepting the live action version or not. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is, I mean, this is it's going to be coming out Memorial Day weekend here. So it does have like the extra day. It has the kids off of school. So there's a chance for it to do really well in the box office.
Yeah, I mean, the kids, the parents with kids will probably flock more to that than to Mission Impossible.
For sure.
So
For sure.
yeah.
And a final one I wanted to mention because The cast in this one is really interesting. Apple TV Plus is dropping a new movie this weekend, on Friday, Fountain of Youth. And what's interesting here is it's directed by Guy Ritchie and stars John Krasinski and Natalie Portman. And seems like kind of a national treasure slash treasure hunt type movie along those lines. And seems kind of intriguing, but it's really, I mean, it's got the big name cast and the big name director. I'm curious as to how Fountain of Youth is going to be.
Yeah, we just haven't seen these movies being released straight to streaming services being super high quality. So I don't really know. There's only like the only one that really even sticks out to me thinking through these is was actually an Apple TV one also, but Greyhound with Tom Hanks I thought was really good submarine movie. But beyond that, there's been a lot of movies like with big casts and like sometimes big directors just hasn't felt it hasn't felt like a movie, like not in the sense of, it's felt like a made for TV movie or something like that, it hasn't had the same kind of reach when it comes to just what it looks like, what it feels like.
And that's the concern, obviously. I mean, I agree with you. I have never seen a straight to streaming service movie that I thought was of a real high quality. I just haven't seen it. It's just, for me, it hasn't existed. All right. Well, lots of stuff to see or watch at the box office or at home this weekend. So make sure you check that out and go see Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is a great franchise. Go out on a high note until they, drop another one in 3 years. So
We could say it's their mission if they choose to accept it, right?
it's true. It is their mission if they choose to accept it. I'll go along
This
with you on
podcast
this
is
one.
not dropped. I just want to make sure everyone's, you don't have to be afraid. Podcast is not going to blow up on you, I promise.
No, it is not. All right, let's get to our discussion for the evening. Summer blockbuster box office preview. So we're going to preview the rest of May, June, and July for you today. And so we'll go through, and how we'll do this is we'll highlight some of the movies that are coming out, and we'll give you the ones that we are most looking forward to throughout the month. And so there is, we'll start with May, the rest of May. To me, there's only one release of note in the rest of May post this weekend. What do you have down for May here?
I had Mission Impossible written down because that's what I'm looking forward to, but it's kind of cheating because it's this week. Beyond that, the only thing that stood out to me was Karate Kid Legends, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be a great movie, but I am interested in how it ties into the storyline, not just of the movies, but the show Cobra Kai, and just Ralph Macchio's like continued development as from the kid into the teacher. And I'm always down to see Jackie Chan in a movie, so yeah, I'm interested in that.
So you have Jackie Chan, you have Ralph Macchio, as you indicated, also Joshua Jackson, otherwise known as Charlie Conway, or if you are a fan of Fringe, he was the main character in Fringe too. So Fringe, underrated show, really, really good. Anyway, so it should be an interesting movie. Again, you're kind of going for some of this nostalgia factor plus the Cobra Kai audience there. I think there's a pathway to this one succeeding. On a level of like 1 to 10, what is your intrigue level on Karate Kid Legends?
I would say like a 5 to 6. Like I'm not crazy excited about it, but I will probably see it.
I will probably see it, assuming I can get some of the other ones that I really need to see cleared out of the way before then. If not, it might get put on the back burner again. But yeah, I would say 5 to 6 for me as well. So now let's go out to June. June, I think for me, is probably the strongest month of the ones we're looking at. But just a few of the ones coming out. June 6th, we have Ballerina and the Phoenician Scheme. We also have June 13th, How to Train Your Dragon, the kind of mixed live action version of How to Train Your Dragon. June 20th, you have 28 Years Later. And then June 27th, you have the F1 movie. So what do you want to highlight, whether on that list or other ones from June? What are some ones you want to highlight?
So this is kind of the month that I was like, these are the movies that I want to watch that maybe aren't that great. Starting June 13th, How to Train Your Dragon, just because I really want to see what they do with it, with the live action stuff. I'm a big fan of the animated series, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to like that. I would say, like, for that, I'm like at a 7. Then June 20th, 28 years later, I'm like a solid 9 for that because I love Days and Weeks Later, Danny Boyle's movies. So I really want to see where the story goes, and like I think it's going to be genuinely scary, which I like in a scary movie. And then the 27th, Megan 2.0. I don't Meg The first one was actually surprisingly a lot better than I expected it to be, so I think it's going to be really good, but I don't think it's going to be a like great movie or anything, but I kind of feel like I have to go see it in the theater after seeing the first one in the theater. This is how horror movies build their brands. They're just like they guilt you into, they're like, remember how you saw the first one? Yeah, you need to come see the second one now. Like,
So I can tell that you do not know what the Phoenician scheme is.
I do not. So you should elucidate that for
And
me.
I, when I tell you this, you are gonna change your list.
Okay.
The Phoenician scheme is the new Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, yeah,
June
we're.
6th,
We got it.
The
Yeah.
Phoenician Scheme, Wes
I clearly didn't
Anderson.
read the description super closely. I just looked at the title.
That's cool. So June 6th is the key day for me. I might have to try and figure out a way to score a double feature there because Ballerina is an offshoot of the John Wick franchise, starring Ana de Armas, and she is a, obviously a ballerina who is a trained assassin. So yeah.
Nice.
And there's going to be lots of action, lots of violence, and lots of excellent cinematography. We already know from the trailer that Keanu Reeves does make an appearance in this one. So the franchise has like the later John Wick movies were not as good as the early John Wick movies, but they're still like they're visually spectacular films. And I look forward to the same level of care in Ballerina. And this was one that was supposed to come out like last year and got delayed because of the strike. And this is one I've been looking forward to for a while, for that standpoint. So between the Ballerina and the new Wes Anderson movie, which stars Benicio del Toro, Michael Cera is in this one, which is cool. And Willem Dafoe, F. Murray Abraham. So, like the usual, like large cast from Wes Anderson, pulling things off. So, looking forward to
I
that.
mean, it's like, is there a more natural combination of actor and director than Michael Cera and Wes Anderson? Like, how's this not happened in every single movie he's made? I don't.
Right. And the inclusion of Benicio del Toro is going to be awesome too. And for me, the other one to highlight is F1 on June 27th. That is a Formula One movie, and Brad Pitt is the star there. And it's directed by Joseph Kosinski. And Joseph Kosinski, of course, is the director from Top Gun Maverick, also Oblivion and Tron Legacy. Really, really like Joseph Kosinski as a director. Javier Bardem is in this one, as well as Damson Idris as well. So basically, it's if you've seen the I want to say like 2000 or 2001 movie Driven, I think it has kind of a similar plot where they bring in the old school driver to kind of mentor the young upcoming driver type thing. But the action sequences look really, really good, and I think they're going to do a great job taking you kind of into the action of a Formula One race. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. That comes
Yeah,
up.
you don't want to the problem with like any sport movie, but racing movies maybe more than others, is like you can't half-ass the driving the
No.
scenes. Like, you want to be taken seriously by people who like the sport, you've got to show that you actually did your research. And based on what I've seen in the trailers, it seems like they have.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if they connect to the people who are fans of the sport, not just fans of Brad Pitt or fans of movies.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, so that's June. We got lots of good movies in June. July starts with some of your bigger blockbuster-y type action movies. July 2nd brings you Jurassic World Rebirth. July 11th brings you Superman, the new Superman movie. July 18th, there's a little bit of a lull, to be honest with you, but I'm highlighting here Eddington, which is a movie. I highlight this because it's Joaquin Phoenix, Pedro Pascal, Emma Stone, Luke Grimes, Austin Butler as the cast on that one. I'll get into that one in a moment. It's kind of a contemporary Western film, but that was kind of the biggest one coming out that date, which is kind of surprising. Fantastic Four First Steps comes out July 25th. Also coming out July 25th, I'll just throw in this one out there. It's a Netflix film, but Happy Gilmore 2 comes out July 25th on Netflix. It's not a box office one, but I thought I'd throw that in there. What are things you want to highlight from July?
Well, Jurassic World, the one with Scarlett Johansson, obviously is I'm a sucker for Jurassic Park movies. I'm gonna watch them, even if I against my better judgment. I like dinosaurs. I like seeing dinosaurs on the big screen. I like seeing them tear things apart, kill other dinosaurs. So
The
that's
question
pretty
is,
much all you have to do to sell me, even if I know it's not gonna be good.
how is this not just Jurassic World, Jurassic Park 2? Like, if, like, hey, there's another island where the dinosaurs were there. There's another island. We need to go and we're going to do something humanitarian on this other island. Let's get an expedition together and go. Like how many islands do they have? Like, how many, like, I'm with you. Like, they sucker me in, even though I'm like, this is stupid. Like, this plot is stupid. Like, the whole thing where, like, well, we can't kill all the dinosaurs. Okay, we'll just let them kill all the people. No, from the previous ones. No, no. You kill the dinosaurs. You don't let the dinosaurs kill people. Come on. So they keep suckering me in. The last one was supposed to be like, oh, this is the culmination wrap up. Now they're back with another one. And I will go see it because, I'm a sucker. You got anything else you
Glad
want to
Mellow.
highlight?
The other one, I'm actually very excited, optimistic, and terrified about Fantastic Four First Steps because this movie too good. Like, we need a good Fantastic Four series. I feel like Pedro is capable of pulling this off. He's a good actor, so let's see it. Like, the first trailer, I wasn't 100% sold, but the second trailer, the newer one that came out, I thought was really, really good, where they showed more of the surfer. I liked, well, I can't say that. There's something else I've seen in between now and then that made me even more excited about it. So I'm really hopeful. I'm hopeful, maybe against my better judgment, that it'll be like Fantastic Four. Finally, we did it justice. I don't know. I'm very intrigued by the fact that they're going like back in time for this, like doing like the 60s, 50s, 60s vibe. So that's certainly different from what they've done before. So maybe different will be good. Maybe.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm kind of like, I will assume they'll screw up Fantastic Four until they don't. I mean, you screw a franchise up enough times. I'm assuming like you just don't know how to do anything with this franchise. So they have to prove to me that they're not going to screw it up. I will probably be there in the box office to watch whether or not they screw it up or not. But I'm assuming that I'm assuming they will screw it up in some way, shape, or form until otherwise noted.
I mean, to date, the best Fantastic Four thing we've seen in a movie is John Krasinski playing Mr. Fantastic and immediately being obliterated into smithereens by the Scarlet Witch. And that was just like an alternate universe where he wasn't actually even in the Fantastic Four. So we'll
Well,
see.
you could say the best thing was the Deadpool stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So yeah, from the last Deadpool movie. I'm gonna highlight Superman. I'm curious about this Superman. I'm really curious about it to see if it's any good or not. It cast an unknown Clark Kent, David Corenswet, which I don't even know who he is. Like, so that's interesting that they cast kind of a relatively unknown actor as Clark Kent. Now they do have a reasonably strong cast aside of him. Rachel Brosnahan is good. Nicholas Hoult is also good. So there's some good characters on there. Nathan Fillion is in this, which is kind of cool. So I'm intrigued. James Gunn directs, and that's going to be. I think there's a potential here. There's potential here. So we'll see.
Well, this is what DC got James Gunn for. So,
Yes.
is he gonna come through for them?
Yeah.
That's probably the billion-dollar question, to be honest. Like, is how successful is this gonna be? Are people gonna give DC an actual chance? Are enough people gonna realize that it's different because of who's in charge that they're gonna give it an actual chance?
Yeah.
Because they have burned so many bridges over the last decade.
For sure. For sure. All right. Well, that is the summer box office preview. And hopefully there's good movies in most weeks. We'll see if any of them turn out to be great movies or not, but lots of stuff to keep you entertained. And now we'll close out with our watch list, movies we've watched over the last week or two. Rob, what'd you watch?
So, like I said, I watched Final Destination 1 and 5. They were final in their destination, and I don't feel a need to really say that either of them need to be watched, because really you could just read the plot synopsis and probably be good. But this is why we watch horror movies, because they're dumb.
Well, and here's the thing though, I will say, like, certain times it doesn't have to be a great movie to have like an imprint on culture. You cannot look at a logging truck the same way after watching the first Final
I mean, you can't
Destination.
viciously speed past every logging truck you see because you're terrified, I think, is what you meant to say. I did like Final Destination 5 connects to the beginning of Final Destination 1. Thought that was pretty cool. I also saw over the weekend Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law,
Yeah, I haven't seen
the
that in a
first
while.
one. Really good movie. I really like Guy Ritchie's take on Sherlock Holmes. And Robert Downey Jr. does a good job of pretending he's on drugs, I'm sure. And I also saw a movie called I Saw the TV Glow, which was on HBO Max. Oh, by the way, Max is now HBO Max again, Ryan. So
It is.
they start calling it HBO Max again.
We're gonna have some more news stuff next week. I was bringing that up next week. We might as well hit it. Yes.
This is kind of like, I saw the TV glows like an ethereal horror suspense movie with like a lot of really cool like neon aesthetic to it, set in like the 90s high school era. Weird movie, like very weird movie. I didn't hate it, but I'm also not sure I really liked it a lot.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, it was I don't regret watching it. I'll say that. The person in the other room who watched it with me said she does regret watching it, so take that for what it's worth. This is why she's not paid to be on the podcast.
Yeah, the big bucks have to stick to a good opinion here.
Yeah. So how about you? What do you see?
The main one I'll highlight The Accountant 2. I did get to see The Accountant 2. I liked it. the, it was not without its flaws. So I think overall I enjoyed it. It was worth seeing. I think it was fine to have a second accountant movie. It's not going to, like many sequels, it's not going to live up to the original, and that's okay. But yeah, there were some issues that I had with it overall. But overall, I would say I also enjoyed the film. So it was,
Yeah, I'll say
yeah.
my main issue, and I kind of hinted at this the other week when we talked about it, was that I felt like they focused on the wrong parts of the characters in the sense that, like, both John Bernthal and Ben Affleck's characters are like they're almost like caricatures of what the character is supposed to be because they were like so far into what the character was. Like, one thing I liked about the first account was that Ben Affleck didn't talk a lot, like, compared to this one. And the more he talked, the more I was like, I don't know if I believe him as this character. Like, I thought it was better when there was a little more mystery to his character. And I mean, John Bernthal's character is just an absolute dick. And I didn't, like, I guess you're supposed to hate him, but like, I really hated him. And like, to the point where I was like, I don't know if I even want him to succeed. Like, I don't like him.
So I
Like, I
will
guess you're not supposed to like him, but I probably liked him less than I was supposed to.
the opening scene between him and that girl, though, was so stinking funny. That was funny. Like,
Yeah.
that was really good. How could you
Yeah, when he's talking about getting the puppy.
say that to me? How could you say that I would hurt you? And then it pans out, and you're just like, oh, that's so good. Like, that was just comedy gold right there. It was really, really good.
He walks out through a room full of bodies he just dropped. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That was really good. There were some moments of
Yeah.
genuine humor here. My main issues would be this, and I think this is similar to what you're saying. They really, really lean into the brother comedy humor aspect of the brother relationship there. To the point where the characters seem to lack seriousness. And that's where, like, you had a genuine emotional connection between Ben Affleck and Anna Kendrick in the first one. Like, it was kind of heartfelt and a warm relationship. Even though it wasn't romantic, it was warm and friendly and those type of things. The other biggest issue I have with this is their treatment of Ray King. I don't mind that they used, these are spoilers, by the way. You've already heard some spoilers on this. If you haven't seen The Accountants, and you don't want to know anything else, turn out here. But my main thing is, I don't have a problem with them using the death of Ray King as the inciting incident to rally this team together. The problem is that after it's the inciting incident, they literally don't come back to it at all. Like, Ray King was a great character in the first film. It was somebody that Ben Affleck's character cared about. It was something that the other FBI agent cared about. And so they care about it for like the first 15 minutes of the movie. And then it's just a plot device from that point forward. Like, at the end, they don't even come back to it. Like, it's not like they're you it doesn't it's not a motivating factor that drives them once they get into the story. And so I feel like they missed out on the opportunity to drive the emotional connection back to Ray King and how they're all aligned around this particular individual, and that's what holds them together. And it just doesn't,
Yeah, it
they don't use that.
seemed like a cheap ending for him. I agree. I agree with that.
And it didn't have to be like they set it up fine, and they set up, and it's not even like, hey, we solved this case for Ray. We did it for Ray. Like, no. Like,
Yeah.
they didn't. It doesn't come back. And so that was disappointing to me how they handled that. And that's just like, that was just not great writing. So, but like I said, I was entertained throughout, and I enjoyed it. So I'm fine with that. You got anything else?
I don't.
All right. Well, that is the show, everyone. Thanks for tuning into Film for Fans. Make sure you visit filmforfans.com. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, and go see Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. Do it for Tom.
Just do it.
Until next time, enjoy the movies.